Second Kings, chapter number 4. Is there another bottle of water or a cup of water I could get? Somebody get me a cup of water, I'd appreciate it. I have enjoyed the good choir singing tonight, and I love the song Heaven's Jubilee. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. And that's always been a favorite of mine. I've enjoyed Brother Jack singing this evening, and appreciate the Lord's goodness and mercies to our life. I appreciate the day He's given us, and I'm thankful for a couple of men from my church who drove me down tonight, Brother Shane Phillips and his son Michael, and I appreciate the fellowship. Appreciate my sister, Amy, and her husband, Dennis, making the trip from Taylorsville to be in the service tonight. And I'm glad the Lord's here. Amen. Amen. He said that He'd be here. And I sort of take Him at His word. Amen. Appreciate what He did last night in the service. But that's last night. I'm looking forward to what He has in store for us here tonight. If you're willing and able, I want to read this portion of the Lord's Word. I would ask that you stand at the reading of God's Word. The Bible said in verse number 1 of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath nothing, or hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels borrow, not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. You can be seated tonight. This chapter introduces us to a prophet by the name of Elisha. He had taken up the mantle of his mentor, Elijah. And we find that Elisha was God's representative to his generation. And in this chapter, he is portrayed as a prophet who is using his gifts and abilities to bless the lives of others. I find that a lot of times we come to church and we're more interested in receiving a blessing than we are being a blessing. But Elisha is pictured here as being a help, being a guide to this poor widow woman who is in need. You'll find in the chapter prior, Elisha is sitting in the tents of kings and is talking to generals and captains of armies, giving direction and guidance about digging ditches in the valley and promising that God would fill them with water. But here in chapter 4, there are no armies that Elisha is dealing with. There are no generals or kings, just a lonely, poor widow woman who is in need. I am thankful tonight that the God who created this universe, the God who upholds his creation by the word of his power, the God who rises the sun every day in the east and sets it in the west, and it runs the same course day by day. The same God who is privy to every inaction of every bill and law of every parliament, every government, every legislative body. The same God who looks after the fowl of the air is the same God who is interested in one little poor widow woman. And if he is interested in helping her, I'm glad he is interested in helping me and you. Tonight, I want to preach on this thought, a familiar song title, Little Is Much When God Is In It. That little pot of oil became much because God was in it. I'm glad that the Lord does not despise the small things and the little things, but he chooses to work through them so that it leaves no doubt that God has done the work that has been accomplished. Hallelujah. He that glorieth should glory in the Lord tonight. There are three things I want to mention about our text tonight. Number one, I want to say something about the crisis of this widow woman's life. She is in a dilemma. The road has got narrow in her life. She is in a strait. She is faced with hardship and difficulty. And I find that in the Baptist church, you and I face difficulties and dilemmas in our lives. She is at a point that she really don't know what to do. Her life has been turned upside down and inside out. She has gone to bed one night full of joy and security, only to awaken the next day and find that her husband's life has been cut short on this earth. The strength of her life, the light of her day has been snuffed out. She doesn't know what to do, but may I remind you, little is much when God is in it. She is faced with a crisis. You'll find that her crisis involved death. And there are many of you that are probably sitting here tonight that can identify with her pain. You can understand her agony, and you can sympathize with her situation, because you know what it is to lead a casket down to the graveside and see them drop that casket in a grave and cover it up with the cold red earth. You know the loneliness of walking into a home where there won't be anybody else coming. You know what it is not to hear that wife or that husband say again, "I love you, honey." You know the pain and the agony. Here is a woman facing a crisis because death has invaded her home. But I want you to know that there's other kinds of death that are in the church. There are people who are facing a death in the sense that their joy has died. They one time had a joy in their heart, but for whatever reason, it has laid down in the grave, and it has died in your heart. And others, some of you, the peace that you have from God, that desire to serve Him has faded away. But may I remind you tonight, little is much when God is in it. Death. But not only death, she is also faced with debt. The Bible says the creditor has come and said, "Thy two sons are going to be bondmen." And she cannot imagine living her life without those two boys.
She cannot find herself accepting them being taken away from her care and her protection. She needs them in her life. Her husband had incurred a debt. I don't believe it was careless. I don't believe it was extravagant or something that they just wanted. It was something that was necessary. But the course of life brought about his death. We don't understand why things occur when they occur. But again, live all as much when God is in it. She has a debt hanging over her head. And then there is depletion. She doesn't have anything else. All that she has is a little pot of oil. She doesn't have a bed to lay her head on. She doesn't have any tables or chairs. She doesn't have any cooking instruments. She doesn't have any conveniences of the home. She has sold. She has gotten rid of everything that she owned. She's depleted. She has come to the end of her resource. And there's some people, no doubt, sitting here tonight. You have come to the end of your rope. Your crisis, your situation has brought you to a place where you think there is nothing else that can be done. But may I say one more time, little is much when God is in it. She is facing a crisis. But that leads me to the second emphasis in this text. I want you to notice the cry in this widow woman's life. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the prophets unto Elisha, saying." Now the Holy Ghost put that in there just like he wanted. If I had been writing the Bible, I would have probably said it a little like this. Now there was a certain woman of the prophets whose husband had died, and she had two sons, and the creditor was coming to take them away, and she cried unto Elisha the prophet. But that's not the way the Holy Ghost put it in the scripture. He put the emphasis on the fact that she cried to the man of God. The word "cried" there is a word that means she lifted up her voice aloud. She was not trying to be tactful or diplomatic to the prophet. It is a word that says that uncontrollably she is showing her passion and she is pleading with God's man. Oh, tonight, how we need to get to that place in the Baptist church again when we cry aloud to the Lord God. She cried. It was a cry of intercession. She is pleading to God's man on behalf of her two boys. And may I say tonight, I understand that salvation is of the Lord. If anybody is saved, it'll take the work of grace. It'll take the power of the Word and the Holy Ghost to get it done. I understand that. But I am here to tell you that we need to intercede for the needs of our children. We need to cry out to God on their stead. Hey, somebody prayed for you. Somebody called your name. Somebody carried you to the throne room and pled mercy over your life. Somebody loved you enough and thought enough to call on God. I say hallelujah tonight. The Lord has blessed me and Miss Barbara with three wonderful children. We have a daughter who's 41 years old. She's a flight nurse on the helicopter out of Carolina Medical Center in Charlotte. We have a older son. Our oldest son is 37. He's works for GE with digital mammogram X-ray machines. Julie has a husband and two children. Josh has a wife and three children. And then the Lord blessed us with Jordan in our old age. Abraham and Sarah had a child in their old age, and he's 25, leads our music at church and teaches in a Christian school music. And I am grateful for my children tonight, and I want God to touch their life. I want them to serve the Lord and honor Him. But when Julie was just a little girl, about 5 or 6 years old, we were shopping in the Haynes Mall in Winston-Salem on the second floor right outside of JCPenney. I don't know what store it was, but I do know I was in charge of looking after her while we were going around those clothes on those hangers. I looked around, she was there, and then all of a sudden Barbara says, "Where's Julie?" I looked to where she was, and she wasn't there. She was gone. And I'm here to tell you, all of a sudden my wife, with all the strength of her voice, she cried and said, "Julie! Julie! Julie, where are you at?" People were looking at her. People didn't know what she was doing. They looked funny at her, but it didn't make any difference to her. She had a youngin' that needed help. And tonight, that's how we need to cry to the Lord for the sake of our children. A cry of intercession. When I was just a little boy, the Vietnam War was being fought. Wasn't a conflict, is a war. I don't care what they say. And if you served in that era, I'm proud of you. And I'm thankful for you. You've given me an opportunity to worship God freely. And I'm grateful to God for that. But during that time, we had two or three boys in the church that went to service. Some of them were serving in Vietnam. And I can remember Sunday mornings. I can remember mamas laying on an altar. They didn't go down and pray a few words and get up. Oh no. I remember them laying on an altar, weeping uncontrollably, crying out loud, praying for their boy by name. It didn't make any difference who heard them. They weren't praying for somebody else. There's a praying for the sake of their youngin', and tonight that's where the church needs to get back to if we're ever going to see God do work. It's a cry of intercession. It's also a cry of realization. She had come to the end of herself. She had tried to make it work. She had sold all the belongings that were in the house. You say, what about the house? I don't know that the house belonged to her. It could have been a house provided by the school of the prophets, for all I know. But I do know that everything in the house was gone save a pot of oil. She had done everything she knew to do to pay the creditor and set her children free from that bondage and that debt. But she could not get it done. She come to the end of herself and she realized, she cries to Elisha because she knows, I can't make it happen. I don't have the ability. I don't have the power. I don't have the authority. But I do know one who is able. Hallelujah. And tonight, some of us are trying to make it work. We're trying to force the issue in the church or in our family. We're trying to force our children into a mold that we want for them. Why don't we just take our hands off of it and realize, Lord, we can't make it happen, but I'm sure glad the good Holy Ghost and the Word of God can speak to that heart. I say hallelujah. Amen. The crisis in this widow woman's life, the cry in this widow woman's life. But it leads me to the third emphasis in the text. And by the way, little is much when God is in it. We find the command in this widow woman's life. You see, most Baptist folk think believing God is just going home and sitting on the porch and rocking your rocking chair. And let God spoon feed you. It don't happen that way. He wants to teach us obedience. And as we obey His command, then He just opens things up. It's found all through the Word of God. When you obey the Lord, He opens up things. When Joshua did what God said to do at Jericho by walking around the walls one time for 7 days, and then on the seventh day walk around seven times and shout, he said the walls will come down. And you know what happened? The walls came tumbling down. Why? Because they listened to the Word of God. The prophet gives her a command. He said, I tell you what you do. You go to your neighbors and borrow every empty vessel you can borrow. It don't make no difference how big, how little. All they got to do is be empty. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight? It doesn't make any difference to the Lord how big or how little, what abilities you have or I have or don't have. It doesn't make any difference to God. All He wants us to do is empty ourselves. He can pour the oil in us.
this command involved her fellow man. He said, go to your neighbors. Go to your neighbors. She'd have had to went to her neighbors had she had anything in the house to put oil in. She wouldn't have enough vessels in the house to meet the need. But she didn't have anything. Involved her fellow man. Now I want to make this statement. As a child of God, we have to come to the point in our life that we're going to serve God whether anybody else does or not. You've got to come to that point in your life that if I have to go it alone, I'm going to serve Him with all of my heart. You say, preacher, I ain't got there. You need to get there. But when you get there, then you realize that you need the help of others in your life. You need some neighbors. You need your fellow man. Hey, you need the church. You need your preacher. You need that neighbor down the road that loves God. We need one another. And I'm here to tell you, the closer it gets to the coming of the Lord, we're going to understand how necessary it is to bind together like we are in this kind of meeting, to get strength and help and to get some oil in our vessel. I'm going to tell you, I've gone to church. And my neighbor has been a blessing to me. Somebody'd stand and strike fire, go to bragging on what God had done for their life that week, how He had answered prayer. I'm here to tell you, that helps this old preacher. But I want to tell you something else. It involved her family. It wasn't just her, it was her two boys. Isn't it a blessing on Sunday morning to stand on the rostrum and look at the door and see a mama and a daddy and two little youngins come walking into church? See a daddy and a mama and three or four youngins walking into church together. Hallelujah. It's a family affair. It's something we do together. Hey, you say, preacher, I take my children and I put them somewhere during the worship service. You may do that. You may choose to do that. But I tell my people, you keep our children in the service as much as possible because they need to see grandma shout. They need to see daddy go to an altar. They need to see mom and daddy embrace and love one another. They can't get that nowhere else. They need to see that. You say, preacher, they're too little. They don't understand what's going on. Well, you tell that to John the Baptist then. Before he is ever born. And Mary agreed at Elizabeth. The Bible said that John the Baptist got full and rejoiced in Elizabeth's womb because as a talking about Jesus. There's no telling what God's putting in the hearts of these little children. There's a command. Now, I want y'all to go ahead and get ready for an invitation. I'm just about done. Whoever's going to take care of that, Brother Michael. Right here is about 16 ounces of water. This little pot of oil, The word here is cruet. Some of you may have one sitting on your mantle. A cruet is a flat bottom vase, wide at the bottom, and then it narrows down as it comes up into a narrow neck and sort of flares a little at the top. Something similar to a flower vase with a wide bottom. I doubt very seriously it could hold half of what's in this bottle, the size that it was. You say, preacher, why didn't she sell that little cruet of oil to begin with? I think it belonged to her husband. I think it was part of his ministry. And she reverenced and respected the work of God. It'd be like your daddy being a preacher, and you wouldn't get rid of his Bible. You'd cherish it. You would hold it in esteem because he's preached out of that Bible. He's worked out of that Bible. It means something to your life. But the prophet said, you go borrow all the vessels you can borrow. Empty vessels. Now, the scripture says that she was to pour forth. So we know that she does the pouring. But the other two boys were involved too, because she says to her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said, Mama, there ain't no more. So we know the boys are involved in this whole escapade. Now, this is the way I think it happened. And if you don't believe it, you can be wrong if you want to. It don't make no difference to me. I believe Mama was a pouring. I believe one boy, probably the smallest or the youngest, was bringing empty vessels to Mama. And then the older son was taking every full vessel and setting it anywhere in the house. There's a place to set it. Hallelujah, don't that sound right? Now, we don't know how it all took place, but here I'm just imagining how it might have took place. Mama has said to them boys, the prophet said we're to pour out of this little cruet into these empty vessels. That's what he told us to do. I can hear that little boy say, Mama, there ain't enough oil in that vessel to wet the bottom of any of the vessels we have, hardly. And you think you're going to pour oil and fill up every one of these vessels? Mama said that's what the man of God said to do. I can see that little boy get the smallest vessel he could find and bring it to Mama. And she went to pouring into that little old vessel. And all of a sudden it came to the top and it was full. And she handed it to her other son. He brings another vessel, a little larger. There's no smaller. And hands it to Mama. She's just a pouring. Hallelujah. And keeps a pouring. And the oil keeps a flowing. And finally it gets full. And when she turns around, hallelujah, he had done seen enough. He brought the biggest tub he could find. Said, Mama, go for it. Hallelujah. She just went to pouring. And she poured and poured and poured. Filled her up. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight, just keep pouring the oil. Don't quit pouring. Don't quit preaching. Keep pouring your prayer. Keep pouring your song. Just keep pouring the oil. Would you stand tonight? Little is much when God is in it.